Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. Whether you're installing a patio or adding a new retaining wall, we have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast using our landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So we are actually going to be starting a little early. We're starting about a minute early, but, you know, that's okay. We're going to be reviewing our Superman 2 review. I was still not born yet. I'm actually negative 5 years old because I'll be born in 1985, so therefore I was not born yet. So let's go on ahead. Let's review Superman Part 2. Hey, Tamika, how are you?
Hey, I too was not born yet.
So how old would you? Okay, so
I was born at 84.
Okay, so you're like negative four.
Yeah.
So whenever it comes down to Superman 2, my question is like for nostalgia and stuff. What would you rate this at? Best out of 10? When were you when you first seen Superman 2?
I can't really rate it. Cause I have a confession.
Okay.
My first time seeing Superman 2.
Okay, that's awesome though. I like the fact you're, okay, so you're just gonna take an NA on this one. So
yeah.
That's cool. Okay. So you can just bounce off of me as far as my nostalgia goes.
Okay.
And you can do it like that and just ask me some questions as far as my nostalgia and stuff.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so I remember actually getting this on VHS, on a blank tape. My grandfather taped it for me on several other things. I just remember just being enticed with Superman all over again between Lois trying to tell Superman, trying to figure out if Clark is Superman or not. I remember her jumping into, Niagara Falls. I remember that. But yeah, I just have a, this one is probably not my favorite one, I don't think.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, it's just maybe the Zod character itself, but as far as nostalgia goes, I gotta give it at least an 8 out of 10, just because of the nostalgia in me, the kid in me that loves Superman, and just having the, Superman, pajamas back in the day. I don't know if you remember those. Do you?
I think so. It's weird. I remember all the merchandise and everything surrounding it.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got in. Well, you know, when it came out a few years later on TV or whatever. But I never really got to see it and sit down and watch it.
I gotcha. You see, we actually have pajamas that had the Superman outfit for pajamas. So like you had the bottoms and then you had the top with the S on it. And then you had the cape that you can actually, it has like Velcro cape. So I was actually still jumping off of containers imitating Superman.
Yeah.
And acting like I could fly.
Yeah. Did you try to roof?
No. I know for a fact that that was going to be a bad idea. But
still, somebody tried it.
But for the nostalgia of me watching this as a kid, I was excited for it. I love seeing Superman. I remember the whole entire Texas thing whenever Zod goes over to Houston, Texas. I remember the Zod's girlfriend causing trouble in Texas. And yeah, I remember liking it and everything, but yeah. So I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10 for me, nostalgically.
Okay. Got it.
So now that we got the nostalgia out of the way, we're going to strip all that away because that's not even a thing anymore.
Oh, wow.
So
the past is so quick.
That's just childhood. That's just life. It just happens. You're born. You go through your preteens and everything else, and next thing you know, you're a grown adult watching Superman.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah. Cool. But I know that you had something that you wanted to mention, though, too, about your sister. How she... Before we get into the stripping away the nostalgia, I wanted to know, you told me that there's a way that she can tell that a movie's successful or unsuccessful.
Yes. So the apartment she is in is new. It's probably not even a year old. Mm-hmm. And it is basically sharing the parking lot with AMC. So she can basically walk and then go to AMC, right?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But yeah, so when Wicked came out, my sister noticed she had plumbing problems. And then she asked around and she was like, what's going on? And then she found out that they kind of share AMC and that apartment share plumbing lines.
Oh no, that's bad.
So basically she's like, I know when a movie is successful because my toilet is clogged up and it doesn't work anymore. So she was like,
how many rolls would you rate that high? 5 out of 10 10 rolls or what?
The whole time Wicked was out, she was like, I can't use my toilet. She had to go to her parents. So wow. I told her, I said, okay, so the new Superman movie come out. She's like, oh, no. She's like, I need to do a calendar of all these movies that are coming. So I just asked her about a movie. So I'm going to ask her about the new Superman movie. I'm like, well, how's your toilet? And then that's when you know it's going to be successful.
Okay,
and for some reason, there's nothing that they can do about it.
No, there isn't, unfortunately.
No. With Sinners, her toilet wasn't clogged up, sadly.
That should have been clogged up.
Because
that movie was fantastic.
I said, what about Sinners? She was like, toilet fine. I was like, damn it.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, that's not going to be clogged up tonight. Is in a world where Superman gives up his power for love.
I love her.
And still manages to throw cellophane S at a guy.
What the hell is that?
One podcast dares to ask the real question. What is in this crystal spaghetti dinner Lois made him in Fortress of Solitude?
You're a real pain in the neck.
Tonight, we take flight faster than a speeding plot hole as we review Superman 2, the movie, where General Zod has all the charisma.
Kneel before Zod!
And none of the neck snapping. Where Clark Kent somehow forgets the concept of locking the door before becoming Superman in the most obvious phone booth in America.
It is you.
So buckle up, throw on your cape, and try not to tip over the random amnesia kiss. It's time for the Movie Loves You Night Superman 2 review.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, scene one.
Action.
So... What I have to say is this. I like the fact that we get the montage of everything that we had at the beginning of the very first Superman, from his childhood to adulthood to everything else. So I thought that was actually pretty cool about how we had that whole entire montage of everything that we got. But what did you think of that? What did you think of the opening scene?
That was in my notes. I was going to say the same thing. Most movies don't do that anymore for sequels. They don't really give you a montage like previously on X-Men. I don't know. It just came out of my mouth. Previously on Superman. You don't really get that in theaters anymore. And I think it's useful. I mean, it may be annoying to some people, but it's useful. You forget. I mean, when this movie came out, it's been a year or two.
Let's see. I think it was 78 for the Superman. For Superman 1.
Yeah. So you would have had to have the VHS Wait, did they have VHS?
No, not, I don't think so.
Oh, well, anyway.
78, yeah.
Maybe it came on TV or something. I don't know. I don't know how fast movies go on TV from like the 70s, but you would have had to see it and recall what happened in the first Superman movie.
Exactly.
But I
like the recap. I do like the recap because things are like this. It's been 2 years since we got a Superman movie, and we're in 1970s time.
Yes.
It would be 2 years. So therefore, we would actually forget about everything that happened between that time and this time. So I feel like you do need a little bit of a recap, a rehash of what happened.
Yeah.
And I like the recap. I like it because of the fact it's like, okay, I remember him lifting stuff. I remember him rescuing Lois off the helicopter. I remember all this stuff, even with his childhood. And then it goes into present day, 1980. Well, actually, it goes into the... Remember how I told you on Superman 1 how I felt like Zod getting captured was like a post-credit scene or end-credit scene?
Yes.
And then we wind up starting right where that scene happens.
That was
so
cool.
It does feel like an end-credit scene, like a Marvel kind of type of thing that they did, but it's set in 1980.
Yeah.
It's completely different than what you would actually do at that time. So I like how they introduced us to Zod in the first one, and then we're introduced to him again, but also giving us more context on what he did as well and how and what it came to be. So I like that whole entire aspect of it, of like an MCU kind of style flavor thing of like an end credit scene starting into leading into the next movie.
Yes.
What do you think?
I was in, like, the end, you know, when the recap came on, I was like, oh, my God, Superman. And like you said, when Zod and his people were escaping, it was jarring to see them snap a guy's neck. I was like, oh, my God, we're starting this way down. It's like, somebody need Superman help. How many deaths were in this movie? Just one? Two, three,
just one, four. One. It looked like Cobra Commander from G.I. Joe.
That we know of. It was a lot of injuries.
Right? But is it just me or does the costume look like a G.I. Joe Cobra Commander type of costume from G.I.
Oh, with Zod and his people. It looked like
something. Remember when they're breaking into the Kryptonian thing? And then you see him sneak up behind this one guard?
Yes. Yeah, that did look like Cobra Kai, that helmet.
Not Cobra Kai. G.I. Joe, the Rise of Cobra. I don't know why I said Rise of Cobra. Cobra Commander.
Yeah, I was getting all my Cobras mixed up.
It's okay.
It's not okay.
Y'all want to see this in
a
key.
By the fans.
But no, but yeah, the film begins the same, with a prologue in which General Zod and his
with
his people, Ursa and Non, are banished to the Phantom Zone by the Kryptonian elders as punishment for their crimes. The story then moves forward to time. Clark learns from Perry White that Lois is in France, where terrorists who have seized the Eiffel Tower and threatened to level the city with a hydrogen bomb. Lois sneaks past a police barricade and risks her life like she usually does, latching onto an elevator in the Eiffel Tower when the terrorists release the hostages. A counter-terrorist unit attempts to disable the bomb by detonating the emergency brake on the elevator, but this sends Lois plummeting to her death. Fortunately, Superman saves Lois from her doom and propels the bomb to the Minnesota where it explodes. So, I like how we actually have Clark coming in and Perry's trying to put together a newspaper article. And goes, where's Lois? She's in France right now handling a terrorist threat. And it's like, gee, Perry, that's not good. No, Clark, it's not good. That's why they're called terrorists. Captain Obvious. But... Because you got your head up in the clouds, Kent? Pretty much he does.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. He gets there real fast to save Lois once again.
Right? Because Perry sent her on a dangerous mission to see about this terrorism. that's going at me. She knew about the terrorism stuff before it even happened.
She also wanted that Pulitzer Prize. Like she was trying to get this Pulitzer Prize for journalism, and she was tired of those fluff pieces, and she's like, I want a real action. Like she wanted to be a comeback journalist or something.
Right.
But I feel like now the plot to the beginning plot of Superman 2 has been done in movies now. Don't right. you feel like you feel some deja vu, like Eiffel Tower, terrorists, hydrogen bomb, like.
It feels very real time now. Yeah. In present day. It really does. If you think of it.
But then it probably was original.
Right. It was original back then because they didn't think of anything happening. And of course, if you're going to use a landmark, you might as well go ahead and use the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Do something with. So of course you're going to have an action sequence with Superman flying over to France and rescuing Lois. Okay. But I like this sequence of the fact that she's underneath this elevator. She's still trying to get that story. And then, you know, they try to defuse the bomb and then the elevator comes wanting to come crashing down.
Yeah.
And then Superman comes and I don't know. There's just something about it of like that rush of death that I could die. And then there's this being that's Superman that will come in and save you.
Yeah.
And being shocked by the fact that this being is going to come and save you. And not but also too, you're also not knowing if he'll save you either because he's all the way in Metropolis. She's not sure that he'll be able to get there to her either. So there's that little bit of a threat of something that, that might wind up happening to where she could possibly die.
I can see somebody getting off on that, like a rush. Like it is like, I'm just gonna, jump off this building. Hopefully he'll save me. Like I can see that becoming an addiction, which in my theory, it is for Lois.
Right. Because she just wants to see Superman over and over again and get and have that rush of excitement because he's there to save her.
Yeah. Cause I mean, her job's boring and this is the most excitement she got. And then you got him and he's holding you in his arms and he's like flying. How many women to jump off the building?
And Lois.
And the whole time saying even Lois, I keep thinking, what if there's somebody else that needs saving? And he just went straight to Lois.
We're going to get to that because there is something that there is that thing that does happen in the movie where the world is going to hell. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk all about that part. But you know, but I also like how he gets the elevator and she's, there's a bomb up there. I know, Lois, it's okay. Stand back. He goes on and takes the elevator, takes it off the shaft of the Eiffel Tower and then puts it up into the atmosphere and it explodes. I thought that was pretty cool.
Genius.
Still.
Yeah. I mean, it's like debris floating in space, but it's fine, right? Our ecosystem is fine.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine up until he accidentally busses Zod out of there. At the sound wave.
See what I'm talking about? Just like consequences. Just like my theory. Well, how he turned bad time and then we got Superman 3 with Richard Pryor. No, 4 with Richard Pryor.
No, 3. That's part 3.
3. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, part 4 we have the guy with from 2.5 Men in it.
2.5? Who is that?
Harley Shane's brother is actually in the 4th one. What's with his name? Gene Hackman. He plays the nephew of Gene Hackman.
Of Lex Luthor. Is his brother famous?
Huh?
Is his
I'll have to show you a picture later on. He played in Pretty in Pink.
Yeah. You have to show me. Sorry.
Okay. He played Ducky.
Okay, back on schedule.
Anyways. But yeah.
Oh! Okay, not his actual brother. I was like, his brother's acting?
No. I was talking about his nephew. Basically, the guy from 2.5 Men plays the nephew of Lex Luthor.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So now, let's see here. Where it explodes, the shockwave shatters the crystal time conduit into the Phantom Zone, now floating near Earth and Zod, Non, and Ursa are released. Meanwhile, Lex Luthor and Otis are in jail. Their plot to destroy California, Luthor tells Otis he has been tracking alpha waves created by Superman, which always points to the North Pole, suggesting that his headquarters must be there. The two prisoners break out with a hot air balloon with the aid of Miss Tecmacher. I think that's how you say her name. But when Otis's weight proves too heavy, Luthor dumps his sidekick by throwing away the ladder and allowing Otis to be recaptured. Although Miss Titchmeyer scolds Luthor later on for backstabbing his loyal dupe using the black box device. They go north to the Fortress of Solitude, Luthor activating the fortress control panel, then learns from a hologram recording of Jor-El and Laura about three Kryptonian villains who have escaped. He decided that he will collaborate with the Kryptonian villains to defeat Superman and take over the world. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the fact that, you know, Superman is just going over there to save the day. Mm-hmm. And everybody's sharing. We're sharing just like the audience is sharing, you know, like the people on Earth.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, snap. He ended up accidentally releasing these three beings that are just like him, mm-hmm. who happens to have the same powers like him and is going to be a threat to Earth. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the fact of those sound waves. And I like the consequences, like you said, Tamika, because even in the Man of Steel movie, there were still consequences.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that Clark also took the little USB device and put it into his Kryptonian thing as a baby. Mm. So it's the same thing, except for, you know, he did it again, just in a different way.
And so there's a cause and effect.
Well, Perry's fault, too.
It's Lois' fault.
But here's another thing, though, too. I definitely like it when we see Otis and Lex inside the jailhouse again, trying to destroy California again. And he's like, look, I've been getting these sound waves. I think I have it figured out. We're going to go and try to break out. And they use a holographic thing to actually break out of jail, which I thought was cool because of the fact that the closest thing that you could have from that is like a Star Wars kind of vibe to it, the holograms. And of course we have holographic stuff with Superman, but to see the villains use this in that kind of way too, is kind of interesting to see that played out, that juxtaposition of them trying to escape. And then the prison guards don't even know what to think of it. It's like, okay, Lex, time for lights out. And then they're still playing chess. And then they're disappearing. They're going back and forth. Then you have that scene where they're trying to go through the searchlights, searching for prisoners and stuff, making sure no one's breaking out. But I just thought that it was actually pretty cool to see, like, the air balloon. And then Otis is over there. He goes, okay, Otis, I need you to go over there and make sure that you go over there and you'll see something. Because what am I supposed to see? You'll know it when you see it. And it's the ladder. But what do you think?
Yeah, I thought that Lexus. I thought that him figuring out where Superman was far-fetched. But this is my 2025 brain. Cause I'm like, how do you know solar waves or whatever waves and then North Pole and you're in jail? Like, how do you get his gadgets in jail to locate? But I had to kind of just stop thinking and go, this is so cool. This is the
80s. You have to think, it's Lex Luthor, right? So he has to have some kind of contraband or something to basically get snuck in there because he is a rich asshole.
You're right. He still is.
So he has that power of getting stuff in.
Yeah, that balloon was just that. That air balloon was crazy.
It kind of reminds you of the old Adam West 1960s Batman, right?
It was so hokey. Like it could go down at any moment, and then all he had to do was just Otis just had to let go, and then it just suddenly glides up in the air quickly.
Exactly.
And then, everything down.
Right. And then they just let the ladder go because Otis is too big for the ladder. And it'll actually pull down the air balloon.
Yeah.
So they didn't plan that out very well.
No. And we haven't seen Otis since.
No. But here's the thing, though. Okay. Lex only is concentrating on himself, and that's also why Miss Trishmore also calls him out on it.
Yeah.
Because he had no intention of bringing Otis. He's just basically a third wheel. Mm-hmm. You know? So, and then you don't even see her after that. She's like an afterthought because Lex is no longer with her later on in the movie.
Yeah, what did he do? Throw her off the side or something?
It's like, I got business to do. You know? I have other things. So she's like an afterthought. He just used her just as he used Otis to get what he wanted. And then once he gets what he wants, bye-bye, adios. Bye. You can go and adios, bye. So, yeah.
What did you think about the Lex going into the Fortress of Solitude?
My first thought was this. There should have been more of a defense. You know what I mean? Like, and Man of Steel, I'm not trying to compare, because it's apple to oranges, I understand, it's the time of 1980. But you would think an alien being such as Superman would have some type of security around that Fortress of Solitude to where no one gets in but Superman. But it's just, like, open to public. It's like, okay, where's that giant ice thing? Oh, that's just Superman's house. Oh, let's just go in. Let's see what's up. Let's say hi to him. Like he's on the Golden Girls. Let's go in and take a look.
Yeah, which Golden Girl is he?
Probably Dorothy. I don't know. Anyways, what else? but my point is, like, it's like it's just open to the public.
You answer too. You like, let me think about that. He's the Betty White one because he's kind of like naive.
Exactly.
But I guess he was thinking, like, nobody ever comes here because it's the Fortress of Solitude. That was my ice machine. Nobody ever comes here because it's the Fortress of Solitude. So I don't need security. I mean, besides Santa Claus, he knows where he is, right? Because they're both in the North Pole. But
exactly. It's like they don't need no security or anything like that because I'm Superman. No one's going to know that I'm here.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. But still, I would like to see a little bit of Lex trying to get through there instead of having like public access of just like, okay, I can just walk in anytime I want. They have just as much security that than Oliver Queen did whenever he had all those layers and Arrow.
They could have at least had the holograms of the parents, like, don't enter here, you know.
Or just have, like, little, like, I don't know, maybe, like, robots or something like they're going to have for this new one or something that's, or lasers, or have some type of laser thing that Lex has to try to bypass.
Yeah, polar bears with laser eyes. It is pop up and go, ping.
At that point, it's now a Disney movie. Called Red One. I don't know. But
you talking bad about Red One.
That movie's terrible.
The Rock gotta get you.
I'm not scared of The Rock. He still thinks that his movie's a success. Anyways. But the thing that the other thing too is you would think with the holograms, even though they're just holographics, you would think that maybe they're like, okay, this is not our son, even though it's pre-recording, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just a library archives of everything that Clark actually had to learn, everything Kal-El had to learn, and that was it. So then he learns, oh, there's other beings like Superman on this that could happen, that could pop in on this Earth, and I can actually get what I want. So then after that, he realizes, okay, those sound waves that I'm picking up is actually them. So now I need to go on ahead and try to figure out a way to bring them over here.
Yes. And he learned this before Superman. And I'm thinking, did he skip this part? of his learning experience. Like, this
he probably did. He probably was like, you know what? I spent 12 years here in Fortress of Solitude. I'm not, yeah. I don't need a PhD in this.
Oh. Yeah, he's like, fast forward. Okay, play.
Okay, I got my suit now. I'm good to go.
All right. I'm done with this. I mean, that should have been like part one. Zod will get out. Or something, eventually. You know. Yeah, like that should have been on the audio book. You know what I'm saying? Chapter one, Zod.
Well, there's no chance. At that time, though, too, you have to think of it like this. Like, there's no chance of him getting out of there because of the fact of he's in the Phantom Zone. So, therefore, mm-hmm. there's no chance of anything like that happening. All he can do is, like, just warn him that there are people out there like him.
Yeah. I mean, they should have just said, hey, I'm your mom and I'm your dad. Zod could get out. So anyway, you know, just something mentioning that so he won't be fast forwarding to like, okay, this is my suit.
Okay, so let's talk about this other thing that happens now. So now you have Zod, Ursa, and the mute. I can't remember his name. And the mute. And they're in space, and they see
NASA.
They're going towards the moon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought this was pretty cool that they actually have this. And then you find out NASA forgot that they were even up there, that their astronauts was even up there.
That's messed up.
I was like, this sounds very familiar.
Yeah. 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 NASA kills people.
Well, NASA also forgot their own people recently.
Oh.
Remember?
Yeah, they did, and then they aged.
But, you know, I thought that this, then also too, you also have the astronaut that just happens to see Ursa to the mm-hmm. side, and he goes, ooh, she looks pretty. Who? And I think I see another being. I don't know. I don't know what it is. And then, they take the astronauts, they put them out, throw them out into outer space. So what did you think of the whole entire moon thing?
That was disrespectful what they did to those astronauts. I mean, they took that man's, I don't want to say lifeline or whatever it is, and they just swung him around and just released him in space, and then it broke off. Like, they can mean genocide in space with them poor astronauts, and they just trying to do their job. They didn't expect to see beams coming at them. And he's looking at the woman like, oh, I haven't seen a woman in a long time. Hey, little lady. Like, this is some kind of bar in space.
Well, remember, and also, too, I thought it was kind of weird that he's just wearing a hat. You know? Like he's working on a fucking railroad or something.
It was the 80s, John. It was the 80s.
I understand, but it just made me laugh a little bit because of how cheesy it is, but I'm eating it up at the same time.
Yes.
It is
super cheesy. It's crazy, man.
It really is. I don't know. But they do a good job on the special effects to make us feel like that they're there. And then also too, like, who do you take your commands from? Houston. We will go to this planet, Houston.
Yeah. They come from this planet called Houston. Then we will go. You know,
we will go to this planet, Houston. And we will make them bow before me.
Yeah. Then they had that awkward lift off where it's like.
Like if they actually bang into each other on an accident.
Almost. Saw how all three of them were flying. It was like,
Well, they're in space. Of course it's going to look
awkward. Then when they land, it's like. The woman is the only one that had the smooth landing. Like she got.
Yeah, she's
used
the only
to
one
the
who had the great villain landing, not superhero.
Yeah,
landing.
Everybody else was clumsy.
Yeah.
I mean, minus Christopher Reeve, because he was used to it.
Yeah, he was used to balancing all that out. So now we have Clark and Lois doing a fluff piece Clark and Lois are assigned in Niagara Falls, Ontario, investigating what Perry calls a honeymoon racket. Superman rescues a boy who falls over the railing by saying, "Hey, Mom, look at this. Yeah, that's nice, honey." Then flies behind a hot dog stand and emerges as Clark, saying he missed all the excitement as he was getting their lunch, causing Lois to wonder what Superman was doing in Niagara Falls. Clark jokes that Superman may be stalking Lois because he may have a crush on her, but Lois thinks that this is too coincidental. Later, she challenges Clark by intentionally putting herself in danger, figuring he will save her from drowning in Niagara Falls. Clark panics about Lois putting herself in danger and does not expose himself as Superman, but he does conveniently use his heat vision to burn off a tree branch so Lois can grab onto something. Lois makes it to safety and remarks how idiotic she was to think a wimp like Clark is Superman. However, later in the hotel room, Clark's powers are revealed when he quickly retrieves his fallen glasses from the fireplace with his bare hands, realizing that he wasn't burned. Lois realizes the truth. After some hesitation, Clark admits the truth and takes Lois to the Fortress of Solitude because that's where everybody else goes because it's open season.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the fact that you have this fluff piece. Lois is tired of these fluff pieces. Now they have to pretend that they're married. Mm-hmm. And remember that the bellboy was like, "Well, you know, it's romantic if you go ahead and carry your wife through the threshold." He goes, "Nah, we're good." The whole entire time, she's being a total asshole to Clark.
Yeah.
The whole entire time. The poor dude's is in the friend zone.
Forever.
Yeah. Remember she's doing the fresh squeeze, orange juice, and she's calling him his best friend, work friend.
Yeah.
And then I like how Clark, when she mentioned Superman, oh, that guy again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Played it off well. And then just how gullible and naive and lovable Christopher Reeve played Clark. Like, even just sitting on the bed, those old honeymoon beds that shake. He's like, oh my, oh dear. Oh, did you see
it's
that,
alive.
Lois? It's alive. And she's like, what an idiot.
And then he's like, look at this. And it's like the fire to make the fire go, the flame to go higher. Every cheesy thing that's in the honeymoon suite is in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just made it less romantic.
Look, it's complimentary. Yeah. Everything's complimentary. Just wait until you get the bill.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That is true. Because one Butterfinger over in Vegas, for example, my aunt got one out of there. She found out it was like $10.
What? Dang.
And she actually picked it up and put it back in the basket. Didn't even eat it. Mm-hmm. And they still charged her for an opened packaging.
Did they have cameras in there? What's going on?
No.
Oh.
I think they have some type of sensor that goes off to let them know.
Dang.
Yeah, this is a racket, and this is actually what they're trying to do is expose the racket that's going on. And because you see, this is what they do: they get get people that are just married, starting out, and they give them all this other gimmick stuff. Mm-hmm. And Clark's just having a good time with the fire stuff. I would actually play around with that, but you see Lois over there behind his back also doing increasing the fire and stuff too. But then I thought to myself, why would I want that in my hotel room? I might burn the place down.
Yeah, and that bed too that shakes. It's like, I just want to go to sleep.
But it's very tacky. It's a very tacky hotel room. You have a pink lion tiger thing laid up on the floor that Clark winds up tripping on later on. Mm. But
yeah, can we talk about that kid? Because he was terrible.
Yeah, he's the most punchable face for me.
He is. I was like, you need to put a leash on that boy. He's like, Mom, look what I can do. She was like, that's nice, son. I'm like, no, it's called put a leash on him. He is wild. And then when he fell, you know, of course it was a dummy. Like, when he fell, I was like, just let him fall. Just get a new kid.
Well, even when Clark confronts... Remember when Clark goes, son, get off that ledge, son. And the mother goes, oh, thank you so much for doing that. Then 10 minutes later, he's out on that ledge again, over the rails, doing his little balancing act. Hey, mom, look what I can do. Yeah, that's nice, honey. And she's over there eating cotton candy.
Yeah, because she knew he was going to do it. And then she was like, this is the day I get rid of that kid. This is it.
And then Superman rescues his ass.
Damn it. I mean, oh, he saved my son. She's like, I'm just going to sit, eat some cotton candy, and give him the kid. Sick of this joker.
Poor little Timmy.
Yeah. Down the well. Womp womp. But yeah, yeah, go ahead.
No, you go on ahead.
I was going to say I would be like Lois too, suspicious. Like, what is he doing in Niagara Falls? It just happens to be here. But also, he could have played it off like, I have sonic hearing, and anytime somebody's in trouble, I rush to the scene. Right.
Well, he could also say that he had some other thing that happened in Niagara Falls that just happens to be right there.
I had some important business in Niagara Falls. I just happened to be in the neighborhood.
Right, exactly.
Oh, Lois, is that you?
But I'm going to be running into you here. I didn't have to save you this time. I had to save this punk-ass kid.
Let's go to the bar.
But I have to wait for my hot dog. Clark's going to be back with my fresh squeezed orange juice.
Clark? Who's Clark? Sounds like a dud.
But then she wants to try and prove that he is Superman, and then she winds up throwing herself over the thing. Mm-mm. And Clark is like, okay, I don't have time for this shit.
You know, for an instant I thought he was gonna break and then go save her, but it was really smart he didn't.
He does it again on part 3.
Oh shit.
She does the same shit again on part 3.
Okay, yeah, that made sense. Yeah, but yeah, it was really smart that he didn't, but it was very risky.
Right, because he would actually have to expose himself, because normally if he's going to go on ahead and change, he has to go somewhere privately to do it. This exposes him to the public. Everyone will be all over him, not just Lois.
So he's saying he was lazy. I don't feel like changing. I just change. He got a branch. I just changed. I'm not doing this again. I don't got nowhere to change.
There's no phone booths over here.
There's no phone booths. Yeah, get this branch and shut up. Save yourself. But I do like the when he pretending like he couldn't swim. He's like, Lois, oh boy, Butterfingers. She's like, oh, I can't believe I thought you were Superman. Lois, help, I can't swim.
Help me, Lois, help.
Help me, Lois,
help. I'm actually surprised his glasses stayed on his face during that whole entire time.
Yeah, me too. He, that was a genius move. Like, I'm just going to be the biggest dope. And I can't swim, Lord. She's like, oh my God, this guy ain't Superman.
Here we go.
Yeah, I had to save my own self. I can't believe I thought you were Superman. Oh, thanks, Lois.
And then finally we get to the hotel room, back over to the hotel room.
Oh man, yeah.
And this is where he gave himself away.
I was pissed. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I was really pissed because I was like, all right, we in the clear. She don't suspect anything. And then he just got...
He tripped over the stupid tiger.
Yeah.
On an accident. That wasn't even... He wasn't trying to reveal himself to her.
No.
It's just a bad coincidence. And he's angry just as we are as an audience of this actually happened.
I slammed my fist too, John. We both did at the same time. I was like, mm-hmm. Idiot. And he's like, no, I'm not. Son of a bitch. Now I gotta tell this bitch I'm Superman. Yep,
I gotta do this. I gotta take off my glasses. I was gonna do this last time. And then he takes off his glasses and he ends up standing straight.
Lois, I'm Superman. What?
Maybe you wanted to tell me, but you didn't want to tell me. Maybe you weren't thinking that you wanted to tell me. Maybe your heart wanted to tell me. I'm like, what? It would be more, hello, Lois, subliminally, you're thinking about doing it. So yeah. Therefore, you don't do it. Or you accidentally do it subliminally because you want to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not because your heart wanted to do it.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, and then he winds up telling her he loves her, and then that was it.
Yeah.
She doesn't tell him that she loves him until the final act
yeah.
of the movie.
Yeah. And then, like, after he revealed himself, he's like, let's go back to my place since you know who I am. Okay. Oh, I got to clean up a little bit. I mean, he's like, well, since you know who I am, let's go back to my place. I'm getting sun out of this.
Right? And then that's all it took. It took him going over to the Fortress of Solitude to told Lois, no, I'm actually okay. All right. And then he winds up explaining the green crystal to her about how it called out to him and just, you know, letting his heart out to her.
Yeah.
And I like the moment of, like, he can feel comfortable with her and be vulnerable with her and just let himself be who he is.
Yeah.
Instead of having to be someone he's not.
Yeah, it was really sweet, too. He's like, is the temperature okay in here? She's like, yeah, it's fine. I was like, bitch, you better be grateful. You in the Fortress of Solitude? I'm like, oh, my God, I'm in the Fortress of Solitude. This is amazing. She's like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's a little dirty. What did she say? It could use a woman's touch. You just got here. You trying to redecorate the Fortress of Solitude? What's wrong with you?
Saw a lot of designing women back in the day.
He is the most ungrateful bitch I ever.
What do you think of? So I like how he's like this. So Lois, what do you think? It could use a woman's touch. It goes great, even as Superman. I'm also being in the friend zone.
Yeah, he's like, oh, okay. Are you hungry? Yeah.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/EYL or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/EYL.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Okay, I'll be right back. Like, he doesn't have a fridge, so he has to go to, like, Italy or somewhere to go grocery shopping.
No. He doesn't go to Italy. He goes in to somewhere to get, like, a flowers, get her some fruits and stuff, organic fruits.
Because he doesn't eat.
It would have been funny if he actually got, like, a juicer, like, to do the fruit squeeze.
It'd be funny if he had a refrigerator in
there. Well, he is a refrigerator if you think about it.
Oh, you hungry? Yeah, I'm a little hungry. Okay, hold on. What does bitch like to eat?
You know what, though? I thought it was a sweet moment. All jokes aside, I thought it was sweet of him to go above and beyond just for this one woman that he loves.
Literally. Above and beyond. He went where I thought he went to Italy, but he went somewhere. He went somewhere out of the country to get her some exotic rain flowers and then came back. And then he had like a bag, like he went grocery shopping. Hey, I'm back from the grocery store. I'm like, what? Where you get the bag from? Did he go to like Publix or something?
It was DoorDash before DoorDash was cool.
Oh. Can you imagine if Superman was your DoorDash delivery? That thing would get there so quick.
Right? But let's see. Primary green. Okay, so now we have outside the control panel, Kal-El speaks to his father through the hologram about his desire to give up his responsibilities as Superman so he can have a normal life so he can bang Lois for Jor-El. Jor-El criticizes Kal-El for his decision, but nonetheless offers him a choice. In order for him to relinquish being Superman, he must enter a crystal chamber and be exposed to hardness rays from the Kryptonian red sun. And superpower Kryptonian men cannot bear children with Earth women. He will therefore lose his powers permanently and no longer be invulnerable as he has been before, becoming a normal man. Then, despite his parents' pleas to reconsider, Kal-El, without his hesitance, enters the chamber and undergoes the depowering process, which accumulates in the destruction of the crystal control panel. The two retire to his bedroom chamber and sleep together.
Just like a man. Got superpowers. You're like, I'm going to get laid. Take these powers away so I can get some. Sorry. I cut you off because I love you as a friend. But I need to work on it.
You're good.
No, I'm not good. But yeah, so the mom, you know, when he talked to his mom, he was like, Mom, I'm sure I love her. And then she came out of the hologram. I was trying to figure out, was she like, how does that work?
I don't know. I think it was just one of those moments of like, okay, I got to be there for my son. You know, and maybe it's some type of spirit thing that, within the hologram itself. It's like, I got to be there for my son for this moment, even though he's doing something stupid. But she's like, if this is what you want, I won't stop you from doing what you want. So I love you, son. And he winds up giving up his power, even though both of his parents are not liking it. But at least the mother is willing to be there for her son.
So why they gave up the plans to Lex? Were they spirit sleep or something? They're telling all the business. And then suddenly my spirit's awake because my son would get laid. Like, what is that about?
I don't know. That is kind of weird if you think about it underneath the context.
And then Lois didn't stop him. I thought she was going to go, no, wait, don't do this. She's standing there like, let's see what is going to happen here. And then she's like, okay, let's go to bed. I'm like, and then it's like intercut with, okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's intercut with Zod. And I'm like,
yeah, this is actually where they go to the Soviet moon and everything that we talked about. To fly to Earth, which they believe to be a planet called Houston, having overheard radio transmissions with Mission Control in Houston, Texas, making their way to a small town called East Houston, they easily defeat the locals and attract attention to the news.
Easily defeat the locals. How were they supposed to know?
Okay, where Zod learns the planet's true name of Earth. Soon afterwards, the U.S. Army. Now, this is the part that cracks me up, and I'm going to get into it in a minute. Army Atonians is deployed to East Houston, where Zod, Ursa, and Non repel them and force their surrender, to which the commanding general reveals his superior is the president, causing Zod to retort the president, better surrender to or Zod will make all the metropolitan areas in America end up like East Houston. That's a scary thought. After defacing Mount Rushmore, the trio attack the White House, where Zod forces the President of the United States to kneel before him,
Returning from the Fortress of Solitude, Clark is beaten up in a diner by a bullying truck driver. His despondent mood worsens when, in horror, he watches the president announce the surrender of Earth to General Zod. The president suddenly pleads for Superman's help, and Zod issues a challenge to Superman to face him, realizing the danger posed to the world and the terrible mistake he made. Clark heads back to the fortress, now a darkened sanctum, and calls out to his father for help. Dreading that there may be no hope left, he then notices the green crystal glowing where Lois accidentally left it, the same crystal that has called out to him in the first movie. Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about this.
Yeah,
let's talk about the fact that they defeated the... I like how I put it in there, like, they defeated the humans.
Yeah,
oh my god. So you got these two cops,
yeah,
who are just small-towning cops, and they ended up seeing these three people. They must be from California. They got the gothic look on them. And then you have Zod, who doesn't like the siren. You have Non, who also winds up taking the siren off the police car. You also have them. They actually take the gun, the shotgun, away from the skinny cop. Mm-hmm. And they're over there. Before that, they're also talking about eating somewhere and stuff like that. I think I'll have the fish instead. Well, they have a wide selection. Nah, I think I'll try the beans. No, I think I'll have the fish. And then interrupted him for this.
This is the first line of defense.
I guess so. But I like the fact that they do something a little different with this, with the powers for them. Mm-hmm. Because, okay, we see them when they arrive. They want, this guy's fishing, and we also see a snake on the ground. And then you wind up, Ursa winds up picking up the snake. She winds up burning him. And then she realizes her powers are a lot different on Earth than it is out in Krypton. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the police people. And I like how they wind up taking the shotgun away from the cops like that, because Superman doesn't do that. That was pretty cool to see how the villains have different powers on Earth.
Yeah. And also how the Non, is his name Non? The big
Swedish
guy. Yeah, how his powers were developed later on. Cause he was like, oh, my powers aren't working. And he's like trying his best to like, I thought that was pretty cool too, to see how the progression of their powers are stronger on Earth. But my question is, how long did Lois and Superman have sex? Because they did a lot.
They did a lot.
Yeah.
I think they did at least 6 hours.
Probably. Damn, Clark.
He had to soak his royal oats. What can I say?
Good grief. He still has stamina? Dang, as a human?
Might have all that. He must have had a lot of B12 in him after when he was Superman. Maybe some of that was still in him. I don't know. But.
Okay, I'm not gonna say that.
But I think we're like this. Okay, I'm just gonna talk about this for a second. Okay. I remember when we had staff meetings when I was in housekeeping, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody was like looking for Booby, and also and I was like, well, where's Booby at? And everybody started laughing because everybody knew where he was at. He was with somebody from work the whole entire time. This is the same thing with Superman. It's like, well, where's Superman at?
Yeah.
He's over there banging Lois while this stuff is happening without a care in the world and not knowing that this is happening.
In silk sheets, by the way.
Yes.
Very romantic. And everybody's like, where's Superman? And then it intercuts and then go, oh yeah, yeah. And it's like, where is he? And it's like, y'all can stop intercutting. We know that they haven't said.
Right. We already know. They're laying down together. They're not playing patty cake or anything.
No.
That's
how do you explain that to your kid that's watching Superman 2? Mom, what are they doing?
I don't
doing?
Know. That went over my head as a kid. I just went on ahead and was just enjoying the movie. I didn't even care. I was like,
I was like 8 or 9. I didn't even pay attention to it. All I was there for was Superman and the villains. I didn't care about Lois or anything. Dang. That's all I cared about.
How did they trick all them kids in attention?
But,
oh, can I talk about Ursula when she went into the bar and she was this drunk hillbilly and she did his arm wrestling contest with him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Go on ahead.
Yeah, and then she flung him out the building, and he's like under the truck somewhere. And I was like, that's so cool.
That was badass. I mean, and then she just takes off the sheriff's badge. Just, oh, who do you serve? And just takes off the badge. And then I like how they take the kid's father and starts twirling him around up in the sky. Just put that, gee, sir, can you please put down my dad? Can you please put down my dad, sir?
Yeah.
He's not doing nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Can you put him down?
So yeah.
And then you have the army come in, and I remember the news reporters, right? They reported that they can't have any type of radiation there because of the town. But yet you're going to have a bazooka come in there and try to kill Zod. Then you're going to have missiles coming at him, but you can have that, but you can't do the other thing.
Listen, they infiltrated Mayberry, and that is a sin. You know what I'm saying? And then the whole movie, she's still wearing that badge.
She was collecting stuff. She had the NASA one.
She killed those astronauts and took them back. This is mine. This is mine. These are my kills.
Right. That's what she was doing. She was collecting the kills. Like dog cats.
It's messed up.
It was. But then you have them, before that happens, before the army comes in, you also have, so who does this report to? Who do you report to? Everyone around the world. The planet Houston? No. Earth. Who's in charge of Earth? The president? Okay.
That is pretty crazy. The president is in charge of Earth.
Right? And then I also liked how then you have them taking over the Rushmore.
Yeah. Half the
and then after that, you get into...
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Then after that, they infiltrate the White House, wanting the president to bow down before him, before them. Because, well, will it save the people? Mm-hmm. And if it does, I'll do it. And then at that point, he goes on ahead and surrenders himself and gives the power over to Zod. Then at that point, the diner scene happens with Clark. He gets beaten up because he has no superpowers anymore. He's just an average Joe now by this hillbilly.
Mm-mm. That was sad.
It was.
I mean, he was like, excuse me, that's my woman. And he got knocked the fuck out. And then he's like, oh my God, am I bleeding?
You Lotus. Like to go outside, sir.
And he kept getting like up. He kept giving you like, stay down. He was like, no, I can do this. I can do this. Bam, bam, bam.
He got annihilated. I would have actually thought that she would put him back in the friend zone after that.
No, he's still Superman to her. She's like, he don't have no powers, but he's still Superman.
Right. That's like saying you have Superman at home.
That was Timu Superman she had after the powers left.
But then after that happens, they turn on the TV, and the president's over there pleading for us, like, help us, Superman. He goes, is this happening now? I'm like, this guy got whipped by Lois so hard that he forgot what time of day it was.
And literally, from the guy, he's like, is this a recording? Yeah, he's like, oh.
And I like how the guy goes like, damn it, son. Where the hell have you been? It's been happening all day.
We know where he been. He been in them sheets with Lois.
Skeet, skeet, skeet.
Yeah. Super skeet. That's where he been at.
That's super sperm.
Yeah. Jeez, dang, Lois. She a tramp.
But you also, I remember you telling me about this, though. You wish that in a way it would have been like, you know, cause and effect kind of thing of him not having the, not having powers. You wish that it would have actually been where it took a little bit of time for him to get his powers back. To learn a lesson.
Yes, because superheroes, they don't really get in relationships. That's the unfortunate matter of superheroes. They can't really have relationships. Maybe unless you're another super being, you know, like I'm thinking about Hot Girl and Jon Stewart.
Right.
You know, but yeah, superheroes can't really be in relationships with humans. So my thing was, he probably shouldn't have got his powers until later on, or dare I say, push it to 3 and have Zod take over more stuff, and then he feel the consequences of, I gave it up for the draws, and this is my consequence, you know, and then he'll never do that again. But it, I mean, you had to wrap it up, you know, because Zod was like,
that one.
You know, I'm surprised it wasn't like she was pregnant or something, you know?
Like, there's sure something up on, I remember watching Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
Oh, that was good. See, I remember and that. That was my childhood.
This still holds up to this day, this line. This is, well, when were you going to tell me that you were Superman? When the kids start flying around the room?
Oh, yeah. So,
you know, just one little scene that I remember from Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman from the 90s. But, you know, my thing was this. I think it would have actually worked if Lex came back to the Fortress of Solitude and took the green crystal.
Oh.
And here's the thing. And Superman not knowing it will turn him back or not, and knowing that this villain has it.
Wow.
It's a 50-50 chance that he gets his powers back if he has this crystal.
Boom. See, we could have wrote Superman 3. And then it could have been like, when he took the crystal, he'd be like, unlimited power. And then it's like, da-da-da-da-da, the end. And you're like, no! And then you have to wait for Superman 3. And then they continue it with Zod.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it should have been.
Here's the thing. With me, I'm not a big Zod fan. I just, I've never really cared for Zod as a.
It's fine, John. I mean,
unless it's Michael Shannon. Michael Shannon and Man of Steel, I liked.
We were writing a movie together, John. We were trying to write Superman 3. We're trying to rewrite.
I was only trying to do Superman 2. I was only going to be attached to one project. You were trying to get me to do part 3.
I'm trying to stretch it out. Like, we need.
You see, you're trying to be a studio executive.
Yeah, we need the villain stretched out where he get his powers in 3, and then he's like, oh, my powers are back. And then he fights him.
Okay. But let's also talk about this too, okay?
Okay, next.
So next scene. Lex Luthor visits aboard Zod at the White House and negotiates a means to lure Superman to the villains by holding Lois hostage. He also reveals that Superman is the son of Jor-El. They're imprisoned. They arrive at the Daily Planet offices and sees Lois, only to be interrupted by the arrival of Superman, his powers fully restored. A destructive battle ensues among the 4 Kryptonians, and Superman struggles with a new experience of battling multiple enemies of his power level. When Superman is knocked down, an angry mob attempts to launch the Zod trio, but are beaten back by the super breath. Superman shouts at Zod to leave the people alone, then flies off unexpectedly. Zod is perplexed about the sudden retreat, but Ursa summarizes they have learned Kal-El's weakness. He respects for human life, and that he was aware people would be hurt if the fight carried on in a highly populated place like Metropolis and resumed somewhere remote. The Zod trio abducts Lois and Lex Luthor and follow Superman to the Arctic.
Mm.
So what did you think about Lex coming in? This all of a sudden being trying to be the puppeteer. And I like how Zod looks at him and goes, "You have nothing to offer us, human."
Yeah.
He goes, "What the fuck do you have for me that I don't already have?" And he's trying to negotiate with this god, god being. He goes, "I already got that. What else you got?"
You have to hand it to Lex. He is a super genius mastermind. He don't care if he's a human or a god. But he obviously manipulated them because it worked. He was like waving his little flame like, "Yoo-hoo, I'm Lex. What's your name?" I mean, they could have just zapped him like that. But he's like, wait. I know how to get Superman. Like, he's a genius. You know, like, he can just like read people and he knows what they need. Like, I know these people probably want to know where Superman is. My leverage is I will take you to Superman. And then when that plan falls apart, they're like, "Oh, that's his woman right there. That can be your leverage right there." And then he'll come and get her and then you can fight him. And then when that plan, never mind. I don't want to go too far.
No. I'm saying there you go. That's his whole entire master plan.
Yeah. Whereas,
and they fall right into it. But I do like the whole entire fight sequences with Superman saying, "Care to come step outside, General?" And yes. We have that whole entire thing. We have, what's his name? I don't want to nickname him Mute, but.
Non? But did you say Non or something?
Yeah, Non. Yeah, Non. That's right. Mm-hmm. I had to go back up. Yeah. But yeah, you have Non who winds up going into the Coca-Cola sign. You also have. I thought he was going to be dead during that time. I thought he was dead. Because that's also how I thought I remembered him dying. I thought he didn't even make it to the Fortress of Solitude, to be honest with you.
Why did he live after that? He was electrocuted. And he was like,
well, they're superpowers to me.
But still, like, what in Spider-Man, the one with Garfield, Jamie Foxx was electrocuted and he died. Sort of.
But he was made of electricity, though.
Something should have killed them. That electricity should have killed them. That was,
and then the whole entire thing where in the sewer and stuff like that, too, happening with the fight scenes underneath there. Mm-hmm. Then you have this one guy on a telephone that's just, you know, being blown away. And he's still laughing and talking on the phone. I'm like, if this was made in present day, there'll be someone texting on a cell phone.
Yeah.
Or on social media right now, doing Instagram Live or something.
Yeah, they'll be blown away still doing like this.
I thought the fight scenes were pretty cool. I still like the fight scenes and then them going into the Daily Planet, fighting over there. And then finally they take Lois and everything. But remember what Zod said? He goes, "Well, we won. He fled."
Yeah, and then, so I didn't like the people's attitude. Okay, Superman got his powers back, and he's fighting these people. And, you know, he fled, and they, like, hiding, they come back. "Here, pussy, look at him, he running. What's wrong with him?" I'm like, "You were hiding under the hot dog stand. What were you doing to help? Like, how you gonna tell this man?"
Then on top of that, they were going to go on ahead and try to whoop Zod's ass, and you can't even do that because they got blown away.
That reminds me of, I don't know where Metropolis takes place at, but
it's supposed to be like, not like a New York City or anything, but you know what I'm saying.
It's very Spider-Man. You know how the city wanted to take back. They came with pipes and they're like, "Yeah, let's get them." I'm like, "Get who?" They like super beings and they just like this.
It does feel like that Spider-Man from the very first Spider-Man movie.
Oh, Tobey.
With Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Where the people come over there to help him and everything. It does feel like that at that moment. So that, and I always said this, Tobey is like the perfect 1950s, 60s Spider-Man. So this could be where they got that trope from and just copied and pasted into their movie in a sense.
I'm pretty sure they got a lot of stuff from this movie. Right. They copied and pasted itself. Yeah, even the pink satin sheets.
I'm not going to go that far. But then... Remember one thing?
Yeah. Okay, so like the chief, you know, when Zod first came into the office and then the chief takes a glow and go, doink, and then it bounces off Nod's head. And then he gets knocked out again. I thought that was pretty good comic relief.
It was, because he takes Perry, who's actually this loudmouth boss, puts him up in the ceiling tile, and then knocks him out.
Yeah. And then Lois picks him up. She's like, huh, what? And then he gets knocked out again. She's like, oh, crap, sorry. Like,
and then they want to kill Lex, and Lex is over there waving that handkerchief again.
I got another bargain for you. I know where his lair is.
And that's exactly, and Superman knew that Lex would do that. So he ended up giving away his own plan to these villains. So they fly Lois and also Lex over into the Fortress of Solitude.
Smart.
But yeah, then you actually have that whole entire thing where Superman attempts to distract the villains with a hologram that creates multiple images of himself. However, after grappling with Zod, Ursa and Non threaten to tear Lois's limb from limb, and Superman agrees to release Zod and then also to bow down to them. And to spare her life, Superman whispers to Lex Luthor to try to get Zod into the depowering chamber, but Luthor hollers the plan, and Superman is forced into the same depowering chamber he used before, and it activated Zod's gloats. How he finally has accomplished his goal of making Jor-El son kneel. Kal-El humbly kneels before Zod, but when Zod says to kiss his hand, Superman squeezes his hand and Zod grimaces in pain. Zod realizes too late that Superman reconfigured the chamber and amused the fortress in red sunlight while he was in the chamber and is easily thrown into a pit by Superman. Lois easily dispatches the now powerless Ursa, and Non leaps towards Superman, only to find he can no longer fly. All three villains fall into the depths of the Superman's fortress, apparently to their doom. Luthor goffles that this was a great triple cross to Superman, but Superman delivers him back to the authorities and then turns back to Lois, who realizes and agrees that Superman must continue to serve humanity, confirming to his father's wishes. After Superman flies her home, Lois realizes that she can never give it up again and begins to break down in despair. Although life would never be the same, she heartbreakingly assures Superman that she can be trusted to keep his secret identity, which Superman acknowledges constantly, and he flies off. Superman, realizing that life with Lois can never be, decides to erase Lois's memories of all events surrounding Zod's arrival, including her knowledge that Clark Kent is Superman. Mm-hmm. So he Man in Blacked her.
Yeah.
So I like the whole entire deal of telling his plan to Lex.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like, look, if you get him into the chamber, he'll just be regular humans. Hey, guys, if you...
That's what
I just found out. If he wants to put you in the chamber. That way you guys can be regular people like me that you want to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah? Put his ass inside the chamber. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I like how he does this. I don't know how he did it,
mm-hmm.
but he winds up turning the whole entire chamber into this. You know?
Yeah.
I want to know how he microwaved his own Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah. More secrets into the solitude we don't know about.
Because the Fortress of Solitude is a character in its own self.
Yes.
And that's something I wish that they would have actually gave us a little bit more on, is like, okay, you gave us the initial setup with Lex, and I understand mm-hmm. that you're trying to hold in the suspense of him flying off, but it would have been cool if they would have actually showed us what he did and then go back over to Lex and show him the plan.
Yes. Yes.
But I mean, this is a little extra meat on the sauce that I would like to have. You know?
Yeah.
But then you also have the giant S thing that happens. I'm going to talk about that. All of a sudden it becomes like a 2D to a 3D movie with a giant S symbol.
I mean, that blanket looked comfortable. It wasn't a blanket. It was like a...
It was comfortable. It was like one of those decal things that you would put on your car or something.
Like a fruit roll-up.
Right. That's what it looked like, a fruit roll-up.
Yeah. And he was like, and then it went away. I'm like, where did it went to? It's like, it just dissolved into nothing. It was very strange. I don't know. But anyway, but yeah, I thought the disappearing acts that he did was really cool, just multiplying himself. And I try not to bring other movies into this, but I will. It reminded me of Doctor Strange and Thanos. Which my new theory is that all movies begin with Superman 2. They just take all the ideals of Superman 2.
The thing that threw me off was when Superman said, I used to play this game as a kid. I'm like, with who? You got bullied in school. You never played this with anybody. Did you play with yourself? I mean, I didn't mean it like that, but...
I think it'd be dangerous if he did.
Right? But that part didn't make sense to me. It's like, I used to play this with my friends as kids. Did you? Yeah. Bro, we saw Superman 1. You didn't have no friends other than Lana.
Mm-mm. Well, maybe it was Lana.
I don't know, but, you know. So.
It was a genius plan. Like, he had a genius plan. He could read Lex like a textbook. But I want to know, where did they fall to? You know how...
Nothingness.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm just thinking it's like nothingness. It's dead.
Hmm.
But everybody wants to go ahead and complain about Henry Cavill snapping Zod's neck. And then you see this happen.
Yeah.
My thing is this. What's the difference?
Yeah, he threw them in the void.
Yeah.
But also, it's dangerous if Lois was there. Like, one slip and she's in the void.
Right. But there was more of a danger element in Man of Steel because of the fact Zod said that either you kill me, or I'm going to keep killing the people that you love.
Yeah.
So he had no choice because he also cares, because Superman also cares about about the humans.
Yeah.
So the only person you have in there is Lex, that's a human, and you also have Lois. So the stakes are kind of low in a sense as to the danger element of it, because you have that Dazzle in Distress versus it being Man of Steel, where, you know, you have that danger element of, oh shit, people on Earth, the Metropolis is going to die because we have buildings falling all over the place. We also have the destruction of the subway system and everything too. These people are locked in. Zod's about to burn them with his laser eyes. And either it's killed or be killed.
So I had no problem with what he did. I was like, thank goodness, this is the Superman I wanted. And everybody was like, oh my God, he's a Boy Scout. I'm like, not in this movie.
No.
If he was a Boy Scout in this movie, he wouldn't have gave up his powers.
Right, not in this one. He was just trying to get some sex.
Yeah.
And then that's all he wanted.
Then he kills Zod.
Right.
And then he killed Lex, in my mind, because I didn't see him no more. I like
that he shows back up.
Oh, did he leave him at the house?
Part 3 is a completely different movie than this. You actually have new villains in Part 3. That's not even connected with Lex. Lex shows back up in Part 4.
Was he like the housekeeper? You know, because like they left, right? Him and Lois left the Fortress of Solitude. But I didn't see him carrying Lex.
Yeah, like, he did. He brought him back over to the prison.
Okay.
So he brought him back over to the prison and stuff. And then after that, Lois and him, he drops Lois off. He's like, look, we cannot be together. She winds up, and then the next morning, you know, they had that talk. Like, well, how are you doing? He goes, she's been pretty much pissed. She's like, well, how the fuck do you think I'm doing? I cried my eyes out all night.
I was like, you aren't great. But then I was like, okay, okay, I see what you mean. Like, I would be pissed right. too. Like, yeah. And then she was like, well, I'm jealous of the world because they get to have. Yeah.
And she doesn't.
I get it. I mean, she can have them like, well, yeah. Okay. I get it. Cause then she probably can have them like 5 minutes and then someone's like, ah, Superman, help. My cat stuck in the tree.
Right. You know? Exactly. Because she'll never be able to have him to herself. She has to share him with other people. Even though it's temporary.
Yeah.
It's going to put a strain on that relationship of the fact that he can't be halfway in and halfway out. Either he's Superman or he's not going to be Superman.
Yeah, and that was a super kiss. I was naive to think that they were going to end up together. I was like, oh, okay, he's just kissing her. And then she was like,
I forgot that even happened, to be honest with you.
See, he kissed you too.
No. But he Men in Blacked her with this kiss.
With those powerful super lips.
But I always thought that they were together after this. But I was like, okay, so I remembered it differently. Which also explains why she was trying to jump out the window in the third movie to prove that he is Superman.
Yeah, I think in the comics they were together though, right?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure on that though. Yeah, they were, because remember there was this one comic where the Joker winds up killing Lois?
Oh, shit. No, I don't remember. I remember they got
married. Superman was killing... Okay, that's right. Joker winds up killing killing Lois, and then Superman winds up killing Joker.
Oh, shit. I gotta read that. Okay.
I think it's part of the Injustice series.
I remember a comment where they got married. I don't know if he gave up his powers or not.
But, now we have this other thing now, too. Clark, now with his powers restored as Superman, goes back to the diner and confronts Rocky, who is more than willing to pick a fight with him. Much to the surprise of the diners, this strange young man handles the bullying customer like a little child, eventually filling him across the counter and sending him crashing into the pinball machine, knocking him unconscious. Clark then offers to pay the owners of the diner for the damages. With those around wondering how the stranger was able to beat the bully, Clark simply replies, oh, I've been working out.
Yeah.
So I like that moment of like, okay, this guy who's been harassing this diner for God knows how long, mm-hmm. and he finally gets his due. And I like how he spins him around really fast on the chair and then sits him up on the thing, goes, he'll take his order to go.
Yeah.
And shoves him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That dude is such an asshole.
And then his internal organs were bleeding.
Yep.
Why do people think that Superman is a Boy Scout?
Because of the fact that he represents America in the way we are. And also, too, he does everything that everybody tells him to do. And he has to respond to everything that is going on around him. Like little Timmy stuck in the well. Well, got to go help little Timmy. Got to do this. Got to lift. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that's what they're meaning by Boy Scout.
Okay, but in this movie, I did not see any Boy Scout qualities.
No, all he wanted to do was get laid.
Yes, and then he was petty. He's like, I'm going to go back there and kick that guy ass. I'm still thinking about that.
But, he's like, for absolutely no reason.
You embarrassed me in front of my woman.
I bet that guy stayed in his head rent-free the whole entire time while beating Zod. Just, that asshole. He really beat my ass inside that fucking diner. I'm going to go on ahead and kick his ass.
In front of my woman, too. Embarrassing me in front of my woman. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see any Boy Scout qualities.
Me either. I didn't either with this. Then the film closes with the reinstated president returning to the Oval Office as workmen are clearing
debris from the wreckage, Superman appears to hoist the American flag, assuring the president he will never abandon his responsibilities again and always be there for the people in need. Superman flies into the atmosphere as the sun rises on Earth, awaiting future adventures. I've always liked how they ended with him flying like that.
Yeah.
But what were your thoughts? I know you were laughing with that whole entire...
Yeah, I'll never abandon you for the booty again. Da, da, da.
That ass though.
Man, I'll never do that again, Mr. President. Yeah, right, Clark. How many women you brought to the Fortress of Solitude after Lois?
Be funny. So, this is my special place. I don't really bring a lot of people here. And all of a sudden you see Lois. So, did he bring you to the Fortress of Solitude?
Yeah.
I'm a bitch.
Yeah. There go your t-shirt. Bye.
Right?
But it would be pretty cool. I don't know. I still, as much as I don't like Lois, I still like them together. Like, I feel like maybe there's some kind of chamber he can do for like, maybe like 6-7 hours. Like, okay, I won't have my powers. Okay, we're going to have sex and then get some ice cream. And then I go back in the chamber.
Like a Cinderella effect where basically at 12 midnight, he can have sex up until 12 midnight.
Well, not 12 midnight because he got to still fight crime. So six, seven, 8 hours Cinderella.
So it's like using up your free minutes when you had unlimited calling. Got it.
Yes, exactly. That's what Superman needs. If he wants Lois in his life and he want to get laid, then he needs to do that. And then he needs to like multiply himself like a suit of armor, like Tony was talking about, and have them fight his petty little things. Like my cat stuck in a tree. And then like they can go over there and fight the super bots while he gets laid with Lois.
Okay. So... I have nothing to add to that. I really.
I'm just trying to help the couple stay together.
Me, I'm like, I'll take it for what it is. It's life. Not everybody. But this movie actually had a budget of $54 million. And it made $108,185,706.
Wow. Dang.
That's pretty damn good.
It is.
But yeah, so now that we talked about this non-nostalgically, we stripped away the nostalgia. I know you were in NA before.
Yes.
So where do you stand on this?
9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I liked some of this. I liked the fight scenes with Zod. I liked the stuff with Gene Hackman and also too the NASA stuff. Some of it was... You know, it was cheesy for the 80s, you know, but still, I believe that it still has a pretty good plot point as well. I'm not a big Zod fan, but that being said, though, I'm just going to, let's see here. I'm probably going to give this at least a 7.8 out of 10, even though I gave it like an 8 for nostalgia. Mm. So my stuff is coming down a little bit for it.
Zod, it's his fault.
Yeah, because I went down before him.
Gave it a 9 because I was thoroughly entertained and angry at the same time.
I gotcha. But all in all, guys, tell us what you think. What is your nostalgic review? Also, too, what's your non-nostalgic rating as well? Tell us in the comments below. Also, too, tell us what your favorite moments were. What didn't you like about this film as well? I'm interested to know your thoughts on it. We'll be back again to do Superman 3. And then after that, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. Peace and love. But yeah, we're going to be doing, then after that, we're going to do Man of Steel. And then after that, that's it. That's going to be the end of the Superman rewatches all the way up until the new Superman movie in July. Always until next time, guys. Have a great and safe night. And always until next time. Bye, guys. Here.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Spring into big savings on all Larson storm doors now at Menards. Larson doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. Whether you're looking for additional security or a screen door, we have what you need. They come in over 40 styles and 9 colors to choose from. Check out all Larson storm door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big.